Alan.
Grez.
Here. And welcome to Rise of the Robots. Just before the start of the episode, just a quick reminder that if you want to hear our dulcet tones elsewhere, well, good luck finding it with Grez, because he's not on a podcast at the moment. He's mine! All mine!
Yep, I've actually just had the gag taken out of my mouth and the handcuffs taken off just so I can record this.
And meanwhile, if you want to hear me elsewhere, you can listen to the DCAU podcast, where Rebecca and I discuss DC animated movies.
And on the occasion, you can find me there. If you miss me.
I'm Alan.
Penis.
I'm Alan.
I'm the Grizz.
And you're listening to Rise of the Robots. This week we are covering the second semi-final of Robot Wars, the Fifth Wars. Penis.
Penis. How can I prove her live? Penis.
So, yeah, we start this episode. Again, it's six robots, and my notes are not up on screen. And there we go. So we jump immediately to a robot fight I completely forgot happened.
I know, like, same. I was like, right, who the hell did the Wheelie Big Cheese fight? And to be honest, I completely forgot who even won this fight. So this was actually a nice kind of change of pace from being like, oh, I know who wins this fight, and I know who wins that one.
So if you want to introduce the robots, please?
Yes. From Langport, Wheelie Big Cheese.
Which is running out of power.
It's the big engine that could, until it couldn't anymore. And his opponent, from Huntingdon, Dominator 2.
Which I do enjoy seeing Dominator 2 work. Here's the thing. I don't think Dominator 2 quite gets the credit it deserves. I think if you actually look at it historically, I think it's the most successful Axe-Bot in classic Robot Wars.
Well,
overall.
Terahertz
really only has one good season.
Yeah, because that's why, like, when you said that, I delayed in answering, because I had a very quick think, and it's like, yeah, I can't really think of many other Axe-Bots.
Uh-huh.
And, yeah, you're right, like, Terahertz has next year. And that's really about it until the reboot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So anyway, Shunt and does Shunt just live in the arena now?
It seems that way. Shunt is there so goddamn often.
And I don't think Matilda is in this episode at all.
Aw, Tildy.
So this is a very cagey fight, because Dominator 2 is desperately trying to avoid the flipper.
Yeah. Like, it's the first, like, I don't know, maybe 30 seconds to a minute of the fight. Like, Dominator actually does, like, a really good kind of dodging act. And then Cheese hits the pit release. And then all of a sudden, just bang, Cheese catches Dominator with a flip. But the best part of this match was when Dominator gets flipped and lands in the most bizarre way possible, where it's lying on its own, like, axe weapon.
Yep.
And it's like, how is it balancing like that, first of all?
And it's struggling to get flipped back onto its wheels. It's really working hard.
Mm-hmm. Eventually, it makes it. And this is kind of the point where Cheese just trundles to a halt. Like, it was clearly winning this fight. Dominator barely got any kind of offense whatsoever. And then Dominator's like, ha ha, dead robot, smack, 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 smack.
Yeah, it just kind of outlasts.
I know, and it's you can see even like Cheese's flips just weren't as impactful as they were at one point. I know that. Well, actually, like funnily enough, my two worlds to collide once again was watching the latest episode of Botchamania, and Wheelie Big Cheese versus Axor ended up being in one of the endings where they done that match with like Santino Marella entering a Royal Rumble where he went into the ring and then got eliminated immediately, and so they played like that audio over the Wheelie Big Cheese Axor fight.
Right, okay.
So, you know, this is one of these times where a wrestling reference actually makes sense.
Still something.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah!
So, anyway.
Yeah, so Dominator just starts wailing on a dead Cheese. And then, like, nothing even spectacular kind of happens to Cheese as this, this match finishes.
Well, I think it's because One, they know that Roger Plant will make his displeasure known if they do. And two, technically the robot does have to do another fight.
Yeah.
So that would be a bit off if it's like, oh yeah, you have to be in another fight and we have just ripped half the wheel off.
That's nice of you.
Yeah.
So Dominator 2 advances to the second round. Can Wheelie Big Cheese pull it back in the loser's melee?
Well, before that, we've got another first round semi-final match.
Yes, yes we do. From Oxfordshire, Hypno Disc.
This is the scariest version of this robot. Because I don't think it ever really tops this, and I think this is the most reliable and damaging this robot has ever been.
And his opponent, from Durham, Firestorm 3.
Which, somehow, despite the fact that this thing at this point is held together by chewing gum and the collective will of everyone in this room.
Mm-hmm. The old cobwebs and magic.
Is somehow still here. That said, this is not the worst condition we're going to see this robot in. This robot. See when you actually cover the season. This robot must take the most punishment of anyone.
Easily.
It is, by the end, it looks like Mick Foley at the end of a bender.
Yeah, because, like, that's the thing, is the fact that, like, very slight spoilers, like, they show a before and after of what Firestorm looked like at the beginning of the season, and then the end of the season, it's like, yeah, no, that can completely justify the reason why you did that.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, you've got two grand finalists, two hugely successful robots. This is going to be a long and in-depth fight. And then, basically, just Firestorm tries to dodge Hypnodisc, just gets tagged on the side, and it does the free will of doom. And you're like,
yeah.
Oh, no.
Yeah, it was just the slightest little dink. And it just goes, uh-oh.
And I think they say later, oh, no, the link took it out.
I know, because it's just the way that it just immediately dies. Like, the fact that it's still moving and it's clearly already dead.
And you see this part of one other thing that you do notice with Hypnodisc is this is the first time they start thinking strategically.
Yeah, it's not Hypnodisc just go smash anymore. It's
just going to... They start just poking at it, just making sure it's dead.
Mm-hmm.
And very deliberately not checking it's dead by running full force, full speed into its side. You know, it's almost like they're showing a bit of restraint because they think this robot's dead. and this robot is clearly dead. Because you don't just attack a dead robot. The best part is, we're recording this about 4 or 5 weeks before it comes out, and I know that this will still be relevant.
Oh yeah, definitely. Well, unless we want to get in a massive conversation about that on air, we'll maybe leave it at that.
No, I don't think we should. Just to make this clear, we're recording this the week after the Shatter versus
Riptide.
Riptide match.
And all the controversy that went in with it.
Yeah. No matter how much of it's maybe been done, well, bits of it are being done for TV, I think.
Mm.
But the sound of it, not entirely. Anyway, we've got two robots that have a huge history coming up in the last of the first round matches.
We sure do. As from Cumbran, Gwent, Panic Attack.
It's all downhill from here, boys.
Oh, no.
We've had
my little yellow machine.
Attack.
And their opponent from Gloucester, Pussycat. I almost said Body Hammer.
I mean, it's certainly enough of a shape of Body Hammer if you squint and have had several liters of alcohol.
If it was standing upright, then
yeah, no, absolutely. I don't recall this match, and I can't think why, because they're two of my favourite robots.
Hmm.
And it's such a shame, because it comes very clear, very quickly, something is not right in Panic Attack.
Mm-hmm.
I think it turns out it's something like, basically a screw was shorting the robot. Like,
yeah.
Something minor like that.
Yeah, because it was just the technical term that you'll find in my notes is stoppy starty.
Yeah. And unfortunately, when you're stoppy starty and you've got a robot like Pussycat, which Pussycat, okay, it doesn't do the absolute most damage of anyone, but when it hits, it's almost like a sniper's bullet.
Yes, it's like, same with Pussycat, we've probably mentioned it before, it's a bit like Death by a Thousand Cuts, where it's like, you know, one or two dinks with that saw blade, it may not look like it does anything, but see at the end of a fight, and then you look at the robot at the start and end of a fight, you go, Jesus Christ, what the hell happened to that thing?
Yeah, it's because it's after a while you see stuff like the skirt's been pulled up,
mm-hmm.
There's just rips and tears and just buckles all over the robot.
The forks are completely detached by the end.
Yeah,
of
the
this.
Forks are detached. I mean, it's
like they're trailing on the ground.
And yeah, so it does go to the judges, but I mean, obviously.
Yeah. I mean, the only other kind of note I had is, like, obviously, like, kind of Ray at the start, this is when the problem starts, and Panic Attack is just stuck in the CPZ, and this is just when Sergeant Bash just comes charging all the way from one side of the arena to the other, and it's like, that's the fastest I've ever seen Sergeant Bash move.
Well, I mean, you have to remember, Sergeant Bash has history with Panic Attack.
Oof.
Panic Attack dislocated his arse.
Didn't it also behead him?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, like, I'm pretty sure it was Panic Attack that did that. Someone flipped over Sergeant Bash and his flamethrower, like, went over the guardrail and just like, oh! He's been beheaded. Sure, that was Panic Attack. Don't know how I'm still able to talk when I've been beheaded, but
I'm still alive. technically.
God, what an existence that would be.
Anyway.
Makes me think of the game Lollipop Chainsaw, where you go this cute cheerleader and then your boyfriend gets decapitated, but his head still lives on for some reason, so you attach it to your belt buckle and then you go fight zombies. So anyway.
That's where God of War got the idea from. So.
Dad of Son?
No, decapitated head. Hi, Alan here, just taking a quick break from the action. Chris and I would like to thank a couple of the people that made this podcast possible. First, we would like to thank Greg Watt for the logo.
Our theme song is also by Technomax. You can find their music online at YouTube. That's just search for Technomax.
That's Technomax, spelled TekNoAxe. So, we go into the Battle of the Yellow Peril.
Yep, the yellow and red attacks. I mean, I guess Firestorm's Kingdom more orange, but fuck you. So we have... Okay, I've just realized I've wrote Dominator 2 when I meant to write... something else. Wheelie Big Cheese.
Yep.
So it's Wheelie Big Cheese, Firestorm 3, and Panic Attack. The winner of the yellow melee will be back in the competition. Even though I still don't really like that structure, but...
And you've the robots, you've got Firestorm, which by this point has been completely rebuilt. Wheelie Big Cheese, which has been completely rebuilt. And Panic Attack, which is... It's not well...
No, and it's really not.
Now, this is, and I have to be honest, the most impressive I think I've ever seen Firestorm. It's so aggressive.
Considering your kind of thoughts on Firestorm a couple of years ago, it seems as if you're really starting to come round on it.
I think it's more... Season 4, it seemed to be getting breaks it didn't deserve.
Uh-huh.
Stuff like the mini morgue fight, stuff like, you know, and here, I mean, it basically, anytime Panic Attack moves, it gets thrown into a wall.
get out of here.
We get another of these weird things where basically Firestorm rams Wheelie Big Cheese into the grinder, and Wheelie Big Cheese is stuck, and Refbot frees them, and you're going, No. They weren't. It's not like they accidentally drove there. That's been a case of, no, someone has, you know, you wouldn't pull someone out of the pit.
I know, but I feel like there's sometimes, like, obviously sometimes, like, it really just depends on how they feel that day. But I feel like when it's something like that and you can see that the robot is actively still moving and is just a bit jammed, like, they're more all right with releasing them for them continuing to fight.
Uh-huh.
But
obviously, okay, well, like, stuff like, for example, why if you're going to take people off when they're stuck, why didn't they take Smidzy off when it was stuck in the first episode?
True, and I'm pretty sure that I feel like...
And they did that with another robot later, which was weird.
I feel like Refbot was kind of trying, but, like, then Chaos 2 decided to, you know, kill itself right in front of Smidzy, so Refbot was like, well, what else you can do there? But the weird thing with this is... There's this one point where Wheelie Big Cheese gets a flip and sends Panic Attack flying. I've never seen Panic Attack in as much peril as that before. And it lands on the pit with the pit release button. Yeah. And then the pit didn't go down.
Yeah, it's weird.
Very picking and choosing when that pit button is pressed.
So it's this weird situation where Firestorms, you see Firestorms flip it open and it's just kind of like, eh. Panic Attack is not well. Wheelie Big Cheese has died in the corner.
Yeah. I know, because it was like, after that big flip from Cheese, Panic Attack is stuck essentially next to the pit release, and this is when the whole Whaley Big Cheese gets stuck under the grinder and is freed and everything, and then this is the point where Cheese kind of turns around and is like, uh-oh, I think I'm dying. And then Firestorm goes over to Panic Attack, who has not moved since that big Cheese flip. And then all of a sudden, Panic Attack manages to kind of come back and finish this fight. And it's that argument of, well, Panic Attack stayed in that position for an incredibly long time. Why was he not counted out?
Because we want there to be a judge's decision for some reason.
I mean,
yeah, just again, oh no, it's stupid, but...
Yeah, again, as I say, sometimes with some of the decisions, it's like, why have rules when they're not enforced?
Yep. Absolutely.
So the judge's decision is...
Firestorm, shockingly.
Yeah, the only one that could actually probably drive itself out of the arena by the end of this fight.
Yep. However, before it gets another match, we have our first quarterfinal. Well, our third quarterfinal, technically.
We're in the second round of the semifinals.
There are 8 robots left. It's a quarterfinal.
Okay. I mean, that's not how... It doesn't matter.
Yep.
I mean, I get what you're saying, but yeah. Still. So Hypnodisc versus Dominator 2 is now, the match in question.
I'm going to, and again, this is a point that's maybe a bit relevant now.
Yeah.
People seem to forget that robot combat is not just entertainment. It is effectively sports tournament.
Mm-hmm.
It's a sporting event, and a sporting event, yes, entertainment has to be a part of it, but it is a sport. It's something that Formula One could learn, for example. And
well, are you trying to say like Formula One should start adopting gimmicks like wacky races?
No, they should stop adopting gimmicks like sprint races.
Mm.
But anyway, this match is over in about 30 seconds. Because Hypnodisc manages to just tag... And basically, it's that classic thing of it tags the cage around the wheel.
Mm-hmm.
And it's enough that just Dominator 2 cannot move freely. So Hypnodisc has hit it maybe 3-4 times. It's obvious Hypnodisc is now winning the match. And Hypnodisc just sits and waits. Proves it's mm-hmm. moving. Proves, no, we're fine. But we're not going to attack further. Now,
yeah, it's because there was a period where like it does just kind of sit still. And I was like, right, what's happening? Is there like something wrong with the with Hypnodisc's like movement? Because it just keeps kind of going back and forth. And then it kind of dawned on me, it's like, no, they're just waiting. Like,
because when you can, and you basically have to consider two things. One, we have seen the damage that an axe can do to Hypnodisc.
Mm-hmm.
We have seen how utterly, because apparently when Shunt hit its axe into Hypnodisc, it didn't just damage the disc. The whole whiplash it caused basically pinged about the inside of the robot.
Yeah.
And caused massive amounts of damage.
Yeah, it was almost like Hypnodisc kind of got like electrocuted. It went through like the entire body of the robot.
And secondly, Hypnodisc lost the championship because it ran itself ragged in the opening contests. And then by the time it got to Stegosaurus and Chaos 2, it was out of gas.
It was
massively gassed. And I mean, see,
by the time it went into that Season 3 final, you looked at it, the thing could barely fucking move.
And also, Free, from a perspective of... Now, I don't know how much of this has been people saying to them backstage, you need to back off.
Uh-huh.
But there has been, you know, Dominator 2 is not the work of a moment to repair.
Mm-hmm.
If yes, they were to keep hitting it, it's going to cause massive... it's going to be expensive to fix.
Because even, like, also, like, the other kind of thing that we kind of didn't say about this is, like, with these spinner robots, you gotta remember that, like, when they hit another robot, that, again, reverberates through their robot as well. It's like, they're not coming off clean from a shot like this. So, with Hypnodisc realizing, okay, like, we have this in the bag, Dominator 2 has not moved off of this spot for 2 minutes. Yeah. Like, one, why has it not been counted out? When we've seen robots probably move even more freely than Dominator and still get counted out for being immobile. And, look, this was, like, literally the whole reason, like, this here as to why this season of BattleBots had to have a rule change. Because of the infamous Minotaur.
It is clear that this robot is not under control.
Mm-hmm.
So why would we
continue engaging when it should be counted out?
And the match goes to the judges. The judges pass comment as well, which, that's off. That's really off.
Mm.
You are judges. Your job is to be impartial.
I mean, I suppose, like, they're still completely impartial, but still, it's, at the end of the day, they're like...
And also, well, this is not the most boring Robot Wars fight.
Okay, then what is... Obviously, I know.
Dreadnought's first battle in series two, where it's dead on arrival, or the number of battles where robots just didn't move.
From season three.
Sorry, tell a lie. But yeah, that's the idea. Is that
No. You were right about the Dreadnought fight. I mean, like, season three had a plethora of robots that never started.
Yeah.
Like, Max Damage is the big giant dinosaur.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's... So, like, we get the interview with the Hypnodisc team, and one of the Roses does say, oh, yeah, sometimes we get criticized for doing too much damage, sometimes we get criticized for not doing enough damage, so it's a very fine line. And it's like, yeah, like, I completely understand from their point of view how this is a kind of difficult decision, because... We saw in season three, like, they got completely criticized from certain teams about the amount of damage that was done to their robot. I think it was Stealth. Like, mm-hmm. They were not happy by the time that fight ended.
Yeah.
So.
I know some people, I can see where some people would get annoyed about it, but.
Yeah, probably. If we were the age that we were,
oh god, watched this,
we would be raging. Yeah.
But yeah, because
we would be like, Hypnodisc, go smash, what the hell?
Anyway, we get on to our final match of the night.
Yep, well, right, risen from the ashes, I'm watching the backstage interview just before the fight. So the final fight is Firestorm 3 going at it again against Pussycat, and While they're getting interviewed backstage, Philippa just starts picking some of the paint off of Firestorm. Yeah. It's just like, thanks for that.
So this match, actually, this is a really, this is a kind of stealth great fight.
This is like, ever since Firestorm got knocked out by Hypnodisc at the beginning of this episode, it's almost like they just had a vendetta.
There's almost this sort of, fuck it, we'll just go for it.
Yeah. Oh, God, what's the saying? Go all out or die trying or something along those lines.
Yeah.
Either win or die trying, that's the one.
And, yeah, I mean, it's Firestorm, it's so fast, it's managing to avoid the blade beautifully. Triggers the pit. Starts feeding Pussycat to the CPZ, to Shunt. For some reason, Shunt attacks Firestorm, even though it pushed Pussycat into the CPZ, which is a wee bit off.
That did worry me for a minute.
Because it doesn't, it does seem to kind of waver after the Shunt attack.
Yeah, it kind of doesn't move for a second. It's like, we're not going to get another fucking bullshit finish where one robot's on top and then this attack may be slightly more justified than say Ming 3 was, but I still didn't feel like it was that justified. But anyway, like Firestorm managed to get out of it and still finished the fight, so it's irrelevant, but it's just for a minute there that whole incident with Ming 3 crossed my mind. It's like, don't do this again.
And also, there is this moment early in the fight at the end of the fight, which is Pussycat impales Firestorm with its weapon.
One of the, speaking of weapon shots, one of like the coolest flips was like Firestorm flips its weapon in such a way that like Pussycat kind of goes up and for a brief second is just balancing on the tip of the flipper.
Yeah.
Yeah, because like, again, like, this was the thing is, as we said, Firestorm is just going hell for leather. So it's taking a lot of shots from the saw blade to then, because it's using that ground clearance.
Oh yeah, it has to, yeah.
Yeah, so it's taken shots to deliver its own shots. So obviously Pussycat probably coming out with the damage very easily on this match, but I think like everything else is clearly in Firestorm's favor.
Oh yeah, it's a brilliant display by Firestorm.
As I mentioned, Firestorm does manage to get to the final bell, the cease. It's not looking great by the time it gets there, but and then I even think Jonathan Pierce kind of says something along the lines of, if there was a bit more time on the clock, Pussycat may have been able to pull this back.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
And it's like, yeah, it shows because by the end of this fight, Firestorm is just kind of limping into this decision.
Uh-huh.
So we're going to yet another judge's decision. And Firestorm takes it. Which I think completely justified.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And I'm actually kind of shocked just considering how it started off at the beginning of the episode.
Yeah. Oh, it's Firestorm is having a hell of a tournament. Both in terms of positive results and damage taken.
Yeah. Oh, the damn thing's like a Frankenstein by the end of the fight, of the series even.
But it's going to have at least two matches more.
Yeah.
Because it's now one of the remaining robots for next week's grand final. But before that, the trivia.
Yes, please.
So, All six competing robots were seeded, having also reached the semi-finals of the Fourth War. Firestorm 3's campaign in this semi-final marked a number of events. It is the only time that a winner of the Loser's Melee made it to the grand final. It was also the third time that Panic Attack and Firestorm fought, with Firestorm 3 victorious, making it meaning that its rivalry ended 3-0. This was the final appearance of Wheelie Big Cheese and David Gribble of the Cold Fusion team, who passed away shortly after this episode.
Oh, Jesus.
And this is the 100th episode of Robot Wars to be broadcast.
100 episodes. We've covered every single one of them.
Yep. And then some.
Yeah.
That means that virtually half our episodes are Robot Wars.
Well, like, that's the question I was about to ask. Like, you see, this was the 100th episode aired. Is that just flat-out UK Robot Wars, or is that including, like, the other...
I think it could well be, because the... Well... No, I think... Well, you're definitely including Extreme.
Yeah, like I'm just saying, is it just including what has aired in the UK, or is this maybe including, like, the Dutch or German or whatever may have already aired at this point?
I don't know, is the honest answer. I would need to go back through our history.
If anybody can figure it out for us, because I'll probably forget, feel free to drop us a wee message after you hear this episode.
Will do.
Not you. Unless you want to look it up, by all means.
I will, but not today.
I know. You may need some spare time to figure that out.
Yeah. Well, we're going to have spare time. By the end of this recording, we're going to have 7 weeks in the bank.
Yeah. That's going to get us nicely through, like, May and June.
Anyway, we will be back next week with the last episode of the Fifth Wars.
Let's go, baby!